Hello again, this is Doyle Burbank Williams, and you have found Agents of Providence, where we explore some of the ideas that we use at New Visions United Methodist to focus our worship. We're in the middle of a series about what we share connects us, exploring the roots of community. And as we wrap up this series, we are looking at the needs that we share. So we hope that you can stay with us here. We're going to begin with a story from the fourth chapter of Acts, and then we'll dive in. Glad to have you with us. This is Acts 4, 32 through 34. The community of believers was one in heart and mind, and none of them would say, "This is mine," about any of their possessions, but they held everything in common. The apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and an abundance of grace was at work among them all. There were no needy persons among them. Those who owned properties or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds from the sales, and place them in the care and under the authority of the apostles. Then it was distributed to anyone who was in need. Before churches had gilded altars or richly stained glass windows, the followers of Jesus often occupied the lowest rungs of society. Those throngs who left their homes to hear Jesus teach were often those who had little to leave. Though the children of Israel were promised land in perpetuity, the reality was that many people in Jesus' day were little better than tenant farmers, scratching out mere existence on somebody else's land and worn down by the oppressive presence of the Roman Empire. The good news that Jesus brought these people was that God had not forgotten them, and that the way the world was did not reflect the world God wanted it to be. The multiplying loaves that fed the multitudes were a sign that scarcity and food insecurity, a reality for many of those people, even if the term had not been invented yet, were not a part of God's coming kingdom. The many healings that Jesus performed proclaimed that God was not passing judgment upon the sick or the infirm. Jesus' core teachings, the Beatitudes, declare that God's blessing rests on the meek, the dispossessed, and the poor. Jesus said that the first shall be last and the last shall be first, showing that he wanted to turn the world on its head. The people for whom that is good news are those who have no investment in preserving the way the world operates. The focus on a world made new continued when the original followers of Jesus continued to live out his teachings, even after he was gone. Because of the teachings and examples of the apostles, the book of Acts tells us that great numbers were added to their band daily. But beyond that teaching and example, there was something else that seemed to have captured their imaginations. These people that most of the world would describe as needy watched as these blue-collar apostles and their followers lived a deep generosity where there was no needy persons among them. There were no needy persons among them. What many of these early Christians, though that name had not been invented yet, shared was their need. In our country, we tell a myth of egalitarianism. Anyone can become anything they want, even President of the United States. I fear we tell that myth to cover the deep need so many of our citizens live in, or at least live near to. The truth is that we have a deeply ingrained financial caste system, a system stacked against those at the bottom. Today's TV preachers buy themselves mansions by taking offerings from people who believe their sermons that God's blessing is the ultimate lottery. I remember helping a family at Christmas time who told me that they'd sent gift after gift to one of these TV preachers. Then they wrote him, reminding him of those gifts, but they had now fallen on difficult times and they were asking him to help. He returned a letter with a single penny pasted to it, saying that it was a mustard seed, and if they had faith, it would grow into a great tree of blessings. Truth be told, it was an insult to their need. In my experience, they already had a lot of faith. What they needed was a little help. There are people all around us and even among us who experience real need. Financial need, but more than that, too. I mentioned last Sunday that the Surgeon General has stated that loneliness is a national health emergency. There are many needs that any of us might experience. It might be food insecurity or financial scarcity or isolation or fear of the other or even a lack of purpose in life. Need is need, whatever it is. It was need that so many of those early followers held in common, but they also shared hope. It was hope that Jesus and his teaching embodied. It was the greatest hope of all, that God was working to transform the world. In those early days, what caught the fascination of so many was that, poor as those followers were, none of them wanted. They had this strange and foreign, at least to us, idea that no one had anything that was theirs alone. Everything was for the good of the community. In more than one instance, the book of Acts tells us how the followers would sell their possessions in order to share the proceeds for the good of the community. Now, we don't live with such communitarian ideals, but this truth remains undimmed. The good news of Jesus Christ is that when we follow, when we love like him, when we live toward the sense of community his followers embodied, then there is more than enough to meet any need. I think one way or another, we all come to the Jesus community because we share a sense of need. But we also share that sense of hope in a new world. When we share our need and share our hope in the one who alleviates that need, we're already living in a world transformed. And that's part of our United Methodist mission that I believe in wholeheartedly, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for exactly this kind of transformation of the world. Here are some questions to ponder, then. What needs have you experienced in your life? What needs are you aware of around you? Knowing that we are not people of infinite resources, how does the hope of Christ work to meet the needs of the world? I'm Doyle Burbank Williams. It's my privilege to be the pastor for the people of New Visions United Methodist in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm glad you've chosen to spend these few minutes with us here on Agents of Providence. As you probably can tell from the thoughts I've shared, I'm one of those kind of Christians that believes that following Christ means looking for a new and transformed, maybe even a resurrected kind of world. Hope you get in touch with us. If you're looking for a transformed world or even a transformed situation in life, we're the people of new visions, always looking for the places where the Spirit is doing something new among us. Thanks for joining us today. Again, this is Doyle Burbank Williams. Hope to spend some time with you again soon.